Well, Robert.
How can I say? No, I don't start the films. I always say the same, but I don't start the films from a plot, from a story. Some of the films, Truth and Justice, and then you have the book and you make the film, which is very good. But I don't approach it like that. I approach it from a collection of ideas, jokes that reflect on a theme. In this case, was the theme was mass control and the role of person in the 21st century, surrounded by social media, by different ways of control. Where our desires are coming from? What do we want? How do we find our own identity? And then I don't like to do something like a Kant book, you know, because we make films, not treatise of philosophy. So I did the film.
I think you're all pretty known to the general public, so maybe we can discuss your background a little bit, start with the end, and then the others. How did you get to this point in your life?
Well, I studied philosophy, then I lived some years in Ethiopia, and I found very good friends there, and we started making films, because I was very inspired by Werner Herzog and Jan Rusch, and the way these adventurers from the 70s and 80s that were going to undiscovered countries and try to make sense of what they were seeing. And so yes, I went there to discover, and then I started making films with my friends, and I continue making films with my friends.
I came somewhere at Midway when they had already started with the movie in Spain. They had made a trailer, and yeah, kind of in the beginning, in the middle. So Miguel found me through these theater performances, as I've been, Renate Gerz performances. So Miguel found me from there, and at some point we got together, and it was quite in the first minutes when I was so intrigued that I couldn't say anything else but yes. So their first trailer was so crazy, so full of ideas, so different from anything else I had seen before. So, yeah.
I chose also Gerda because I love Renata plays, because they are also very, I think, in tone with the film, somehow very innocent, very naive, but full of energy. And they make me laugh a lot. It's very, crazy.
I've been making some movies for a while, but then Miguel moved to Estonia like 2 or 3 years ago, and then we were introduced, and then introduced also Miguel is thinking about a new movie. Have you seen the old one? The last one? Yes, I have seen, but I understood very maybe not all of it, because it's also complex. And then I had the script to read, 100 pages, and I read it twice, and then I still couldn't understand anything. But it because it's so complex on paper, it's much easier to look at, and maybe that's why it has to be. Maybe that's why it has to be on screen and maybe not as a book. Even though we have seen the movie now a million times. We made all our cutting and making all this technical stuff and so on. But last time we made the Estonian subtitles before last month before the
premiere.
For the premiere and everything now. And then I watched it with the Estonian subtitles. Although I had personally made the English ones, out of which they translated the Estonian ones. And then I still found some, now this makes sense.
So yeah, I haven't seen the movie probably like hundreds of times, and you still discover new layers.
Yeah, or maybe I was just
imagining,
or maybe I was just so slow on this
stuff. This movie, when I looked at it, then I saw like the way time was shown. It was kind of like Blade Runner, and then some bits were like Matrix, some bits were like Star Wars, and then all these trash movies I watched at the Hospital Festival all through the years. But for you, like, what are the idols or the inspiration stylistically behind the film?
Well, I like many things, you know. I like Alan Moore and the comics. I like Philip K. Dick, the science fiction writer, and I like all the films from the 70s, you know, especially the Pasolini film, Dario Argento. I mean, all the Italo, also Spanish films. But even though, I mean, I like also to portray the realities as I find them. And create, and I also say this, that behind your house you can find a wonderful world, but it's a way you portrait it. So I don't want to trick with thousands of visual effects or with professional actors. I don't want to trick you. I want to tell you, like, look, this film is a game, it's a play. You want to play with me? I'm not tricking you. It's not Joker. It's not a Marvel film. You are not going to believe very much, because there is also always the reality behind. You see Tallinn, so you recognize Tallinn. It's not, I don't try to hide it behind 1 million visual effects. Same way as the small kids playing the kid in the playground, they play with a tree, and they imagine it's a boat, or. And they don't try to, you know, hide it. Only when we are old and we grow up, we try to use a lot of makeup, visual effects, or very realistic actors, and to try to forget that actually what we are watching is a play, and it doesn't exist. So all these different places with you always have been 1 million times. It's like, why don't we give an opportunity to these places to be another thing, to be something that belongs to your imagination? So that's why I think people believe the film is a big kind of trash film, but I would say it's more like, I won't say it's trash, I would say it's a game or a,
in the end, that it's in 1997. So why 1997? What happened that year?
Well, many things happened that year, but yes, Google 1997 and technologies. It's more mysterious like that, right? If you go home, what happened in 1997? Just Google what happened with internet in 1997. Some homework here, university, city, some homework.
Research later, yes. The film is made with a separate sound, or like the actors we see are not the actors who we hear. Why did you make that decision to make that way?
Yeah, the same as with the characters I was telling about, that they are non-professional actors, so we still see the person. But same with the voices. I try to always keep a distance between the voice and the image, and try to make it more artificial. And it creates this uncomfortable moment where you, no, but this is unreal, this is a fake. And it make it more cartoonish and more iconic, And I want to believe that icons are still working in this society. When we see the icons from the medieval times or Orthodox Church, we we are not complaining that these icons are not real, but they portray things of real life. But nobody says, no, it's not real. So why do we need to say it with the films? Why the film should be so real? There is cartoons and there are things in between, right? In between realism. So I want to give that, I wanted to give that irreality or iconic dimension to the film.
Was the text that was in the same? Because at some points I was thinking maybe they said some slightly different words and then later your voice was saying something else.
Yeah, maybe I changed a couple of lines, but basically they were saying that during the shooting of the film, they were, yes, they I mean, the screenplay was written. We changed. In this case, in my previous film, it was kind of a post-apocalyptic film in Ethiopia with abandoned places and everything. Then we changed a lot from the screenplay. But in this one, I think we stick to the 17th version of the screenplay.
Again, I mean, you saw for the first time this your character with a different voice. What did it feel like?
Actually, it sounded good because it's always so uncomfortable to hear your own voice. So that was pretty good, but it was more difficult to look at yourself on a movie on a screen. It took some time to get used to it.
But it took your soul away.
Not that, but still, you don't understand if you are realistic, if you are believable or no, or you don't understand. You don't have like this perspective to see if it works or not.
Yeah, I would imagine that voice is a very important part of the person, so it's
yeah. Also, it's much easier to shoot the film when you don't have to wait always for the guy with the microphone who is...
Yeah, I mean, that, this film will be impossible if we do it with sound. I mean, there was no sound at all. We have to
record any...
No. No. And, it was like we use 16mm cameras, the old film cameras, and different kind of techniques like photo camera, different film cameras to give this texture of collage. And imagine that with adding sound to this crazy. When we were shooting this fight, we were two actually. We went to the Blue Nile in Ethiopia. The first waterfall of the Nile, close to the Tana Lake, and we were two, and the villagers were helping us. Like, what the hell are these guys doing with Batman here in the middle of nowhere? Like these Europeans have lost their mind. So yeah, imagine that. Yes, it was very. Yes, the question of not having sound and rebuild the things later was. It helped the production.
So it was a good idea. I think also, like for the style of the movie, yeah, like you said, the effect of the, like it's not real or it's not quite right, it works very well. Then for the Psycho book, it seems kind of like stop motion animation or something, or like with people, or how did you do that?
Yes, we did stop motion with people. So basically we do all, well, yes, Christian wants to do an example because he always does the example in the Q&A. So Christian has to take that glass. So from his position, basically there is like, he's gonna take 1 second in real life, no? But we are gonna do like cartoons. So basically I say like, picture. So finally, while we did that with my brother and my friend Abu, that are one of the main characters of the film. My brother is the Jesus. And he was also the Stalin and many. So that's a good thing to put the mask and the animation, because you can use whatever actors. If the actors are not available to go to Ethiopia, you choose another one. So this is very economic in the way you produce the film, because half of the characters are the same guy, or are if the same guy cannot come, you use another one. So basically, yes. So we wanted to do the night 100% of the film in stop motion, like animation, but animating humans. But yes, we discovered that after 10 days of shooting, we had 1 minute. So basically, it was going to take like 20 years to make the film. So, and so yeah, we combined different things.
But how long did you shoot for?
We shot in different periods along almost 2 years and a half, or three, 2.5 years, I think, or three almost, but different periods, because in this case we couldn't make gather all the money and shoot all the film. But we were, as Christian was saying before, we made a trailer, with the trailer we made a crowdfunding, the crowdfunding gave us some more funding, then we were using, then we were selected in Cannes, in a Frontiers program, which is a program for science fiction. Then we got more financing, then like they were shooting a little bit more. So it was, it's more like a painter, a painting that you paint a little bit, go back after 2 days and say like, fuck, and then you go back and like that.
Okay. Looking at the audience, maybe somebody has questions? Complaints,
love, hate, love.
Did I imagine, or was Herzog speaking in the cleaning up scene?
Ah, maybe you imagined it.
Imagine that.
I would leave it open. So you go home.
How would you get him?
No, but we are doing very well in festivals. We have more than 50 festivals, so I get to know, for instance, I'm not going to tell you if he was Herzog or not, but one of the guys who made the visual effects is Paddy Eason, that made Mission Impossible and Harry Potter and other kind of films. So what I'm saying is that with passion, you can get a very good big Hollywood stars in your film. Yes, because they want to do something on the weekends. Yes, helping you. Like Paddy told me, like, look, you have a lot of money to make this film. And I say, no, I have only for you only 2 million euros. And I say, okay, I'm gonna do it on the weekends. And so these kind of things happen. Not everything is money. It's kind of love, friendship, and the friendship that I started 10 years ago took me like super far in the world of film. Now we have an agent in the US, and we go there. We don't do anything, but we look fancy. Ah, yes, Daniel is a friend of mine, but now we have been making films for 10 years. First, we made short films, and then this is the second feature film where he's the main character. In my other film, Grumps, he was also the main character. And I met him in Addis Ababa, where there is a very small industry, film industry, but very flourishing. And he was playing in some films of my friend Johannes, or another Ethiopian filmmaker, and I really like the way he is. And he was kind of a star back in time. Then he got a little bit down, but now he's up again. But it was very funny because you go with Daniel and also with Solomon Tashe, the Basro, and everybody knows him all around the country. All around the country, even in the farthest place, it's like, hey, Daniel! And it's like, wow, man, we're super famous. But at the same time, he's super poor, you know? So it's like, fuck, man, I mean, you are kind of a star here. But he, they drive the car that is falling apart, they live in a horrible apartment. So it's nice, the Ethiopian industry, because the stardom doesn't mean like luxuries and not Hollywood at all. It's more like you're a guy from the neighborhood, no? So you have a coffee with the biggest star of Ethiopia, but you know, then he asks you like, can you pay the coffee, man? So it's quite, I don't know, for me it's quite charming that this kind of, I'm sure it happens here in Tartu, the typical people that is legendary, very legendary, that you see everywhere, ah, this guy is legendary, he's a famous artist, but at the same time, he's very poor, or very, like, people like you and me, you know? So Daniel is, now he's coming back, because last week he was in the Ethiopian Saturday Night Live. If you go to our website, we put the video, it's hilarious. I mean, you can see Daniel going into the Ethiopian Saturday Night Live there in our Facebook. He's a great guy. I mean,
since we are talking Ethiopia, then it seems kind of very far away, so they can people make movies there. And how does it like work in Ethiopia? Like, is there, I mean, are there a lot of filmmakers? Is there a system, or how does it happen?
There is a system, yes, and there is like a little bit like here, but it's quite funny. Yeah, people do self-distribution. So basically all the cinemas where the people were distributing the films in DVD. So basically what happened that everybody was copying the films. So a guy came with a brilliant idea of selling the films to the cinema in DVD, but inside the DVD player. So he will seal the DVD player with this, how you call it, like the thing that you use for the bathroom, you know, the silicone. So you seal the silicone DVD player, so you make him, you put your seal, like in the lid, so you make sure that nobody has opened the DVD player, and then you give it back, and it's like, yeah, he didn't copy. So you can do this like for, I don't know, if there are 40 rooms in 40 cinemas in Ethiopia, you send it the 40 DVD players. So that was one of the techniques of distribution that I love always. And yeah, basically you rent a van, and with the van you collect all the actors and you shoot very low budget normally. But they are doing well, they have a lot of audience. More and more, it gets more and more professional. It's very interesting.
Did any of you get to go to Ethiopia?
No.
Neither? Not even the producer?
No, because when... No, it's... no. It's a ticket, we have to pay for Christian doing nothing there. So.
But I need like a 5-star hotel and you know.
Exactly. But now, maybe for the next one, he's gonna come because he knows he fixes a lot of things. Like, he's very good. He's like MacGyver Christian, so it may be very useful in Ethiopia.
Yes, speaking of Christian, because I was Googling him before, I noticed that you do a lot of special effects for for Estonian movies like City of the Lost and the Negus. Could you talk about that? Like, are you a special effects guy? Or a producer? Or
what
are you?
On weekends. Well, on weekends I do special effects. Because special effects are not actually so much needed and we don't do so many films in Estonia. So. But it's very interesting to do sometimes, you know, like a touch of rain here and sprinkle of fire there and
I mean you so tell him like Christian do this paper and he will say like no, but you tell him like Christian we have to build a machine here for the where
did you do anything for this movie?
I think so, yeah, a few things.
The stop motion.
So we did stop motion, we built like a machine where we are going to move the things and then we did some smoke and but there are actually it's not a very effect-driven movie, I would say. It's a very drama-like in that sense.
Random elements come like playing around with different concepts. For example, this backbeat thing that reoccurred, but it kind of didn't.
Which one?
The
backbeat.
Of Kakanos, back.
Mm.
Ah, the back. No, some. No, most of the things come from the characters themselves. They are persons, they are not actors. Well, Kagano is an actor, okay, but I like to see the person behind and how will he react. And I like a lot of the spontaneous things. Yes, that's true. That come certainly, spontaneously. But I think everything makes sense, but how can I say? We are sometimes so hooked to the fastism of the plot and we don't leave space for other things to happen. And maybe sometimes we find it even boring when other things happen that distract you from the plot. But when I close my eyes, or after 15 days, I like when I see a film and then I close my eyes and after 10 days and the world stays there. The world, you know, you see that this world exists, it still is there. So I forget a little bit about the plot and I keep the world kind of with the feelings, with a certain empathy to the characters and everything. It happened to me, but even with Hollywood films, for instance, Big Lebowski, I've seen it 1 million times. It's a film maybe you have seen, that's why I see Big Lebowski. But I don't remember the plot very well, but I know these kind of characters of Big Lebowski, they are funny, and I close my eyes and I see the city of Los Angeles as Big Lebowski was portrayed in. So it kind of, these kind of random things bring certain life, I guess, to the, and then very stupid humor that I like, because I'm a fan of the stupid humor. I say that it's not very intellectual in that sense, but I love it. That I imagine myself looking at you through a small hole in the wall while you are watching and I'm laughing myself, like I don't know, laughing at me and at you and at the film and say like with a bunch of stupid things. The world is very stupid as well.
The character Deepanoyata, he's called Alphonse Levan or Remain. He's actually the name belongs to an actual Estonian spy. So
I know.
Could talk about that spy because I don't think many people know about him.
Well, there is a book that you can find in the Estonian live bookstores called, I don't remember the name of the book, but then you can search. But it's by Mart Manik was a guy that was a spy in the Second World War, and he was in the team of Alphonse Revane, and actually Operation Jago actually assist, and basically they were training in the UK. Alphonse Revane was working for the MI5, and they were sent to Estonia, and with the task of spying what the Soviets were doing. But they were caught they believed they were spying the Soviets, but the Soviets knew very well who they were, so they were playing the double game. So for 2.5 years, this guy, Martin Manning, played the double game without realizing. And Alphonse Revane was the head of that spy group. You can find that book on that.
Yeah, you can research that.
Yes.
And also, it's just interesting that you know about him, because I just read about it in some review of the movie. There was this, and I never heard of him.
Yeah, because I like him very much, as I think.
Okay, so you know. I lost my
train
of thought for a minute. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, question.
Oh, there's a question, yes.
What's your next project?
My next project? I don't know yet, but I'm very interested in transhumanism. Have you heard about transhumanism? So it's kind of the merge between machines and humans. I mean, we are gonna slowly we are gonna turn into machines because of the technology and everything. Now they say that the people can upload your mind into very easily into a computer. But I don't believe that. I'm against transhumanism actually, but it's very interesting this world of machines. So kind of maybe it's a Terminator on acid or something, but I don't know. Some Terminator thing. I like Terminator, so some Terminator in Estonia, like with it will see.
Terminator in Estonia, I would pay to see that. I'm asking again because this is your first film.
Yes, very first.
So how do you get films now that you've been part of one? Do you when you go to see other movies, are you like looking at them differently?
Maybe I was looking at them differently, like before, when we were starting with the project, then I was really looking at them with a different angle, or just thinking more about the actors, what are they doing, what are they feeling, just kind of trying to understand the actor behind the character. Now it's kind of, I don't know, it kind of helped me to get into the movie and kind of think about it, how to live inside a role. But for now it's back to usual. I can enjoy movies as they are. But I am a much bigger movie fan than before.
Did we get you also recommendations?
Yeah, a little.
Not really.
I remember Twin Peaks, but I couldn't watch it before because I didn't find it from anywhere.
I'm watching it
right now. So I started in the summer with ETV. So.
What are your plans for future?
Of course, maybe with Miguel, but in March we are releasing the next film, which is a little bit different, or very much different, called Rhine, which tells a story about a little guy, a boy who watches his brother and father find their way in life, which is a very heartwarming story, and you will cry in the end, probably. and then maybe vacation. The long one.
I am back in theater world. We just premiered a new performance with Renate in Uusteater Lävi. Mm-hmm. So we will have performances in Tartu and in Tallinn. Quite many in.
Can see you there.
Yeah. So that's the plan. Mm-hmm.
So final round of questions. Feel like they have to know something.
Mm-hmm. Everything
is clear.
Or the opposite, probably.
If something was not clear, then we're screening the movie again on Tuesday, so you can come and watch it again with your friends.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Very important.
Spread the word.
Very important because it's very. Ah, yes, this is maybe. But it's very important that. This is very important. The crowd is very important that we keep this space, of my opinion, like that, beautiful and not going to the big malls and I have a crusade against the big malls and supermarkets because they are showing franchises, films, and maybe this film is maybe worse than the next one or better than the next one, but it's a question of a habit, no? To create like a habit of watching these kind of films which are not kind of franchises, not Marvel films. So yes, it's important. I mean, you don't know how important you are for I mean, to vote, to vote on Letterboxd, to put your note in IMDb, to spread the word, because we are very vulnerable, you know? If you don't come, we cannot make more movies. Maybe you, some of you are saying, yes, thank God. But yes, you have the power of making us, allowing us to make more movies, or not you. I mean, it looks like incredible, but it's true. I mean, it's a very big difference if the next day there is another 50 people or nobody comes, and it's the difference between making a new film or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so you know your role, because, you know, so this movie is very good for watching with friends. It's better to laugh in groups. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you for coming, and see you again soon, I hope.